the Ball's cash machine.
We've given away hundreds of thousands of euro across the Go Loud network of stations. For your chance to win, tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast weekdays from 7:30 on the Off the Ball app, and we'll give you the all-important cash amount.
Oh my God.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Thanks very much for coming out, folks. It's lovely to be back in Croke Park. Isn't it, Paddy and James?
Unreal.
Magic. Magic.
We have a special guest here with us.
We do. I seen that. Okay. I seen him on the way in. An old friend.
A good friend.
A good friend.
Yeah, not anymore.
It's going to be a long night.
You got your hands on that once, did you?
Did you?
Once.
Yeah,
once.
Okay.
That thanks to them. Oh, we'll get there again.
We're here with thanks to AIB tonight, lads. And they keep the podcast on the road all year long with Off the Ball. So thanks very much to AIB for bringing us to Croke Park. I'm just wondering, is there many Galway fans here tonight?
Oh, there's a few.
What about Armagh fans?
Wow.
I'm a bit surprised by that because
50-50.
We put this show on sale in June and it sold out in about 6 hours with loads of Kerry and Dublin fans.
It's not the same without Kerry, is it?
No, it's not. I thought they just cancelled the whole thing after quarterfinals. Call it a draw.
I wasn't able to do it this week, so Shifra is here somewhere, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I gave her the password for the Football Pod Instagram. So I think she got all of the Galway and Armagh fans here tonight. A lot of O'Sullivan's and Crowley's and Donoghue's and Andrews and Cluxton's and Brogan's selling their tickets. So
Kerry Crow just don't travel. Like. They just don't travel. It cost us the semi-final.
So we're delighted to have you here. The place looks unreal. Thanks to Croke Park. James, we were talking about Kerry there. Mm-hmm. They kind of let us down a bit this year, didn't they?
Never see.
Kerry let everyone down.
Kerry, yeah, it was.
How dare you?
Just the type of football that they played.
Yeah.
Type of football.
Like it was mature.
It was good. It was swashbuckling at times. Other times it wasn't great, but they found a new way of playing, attacking from all angles. I thought it was good to watch. They just got caught by the better team. By a man, semi final.
We might just have another little look at this. Because
Hang on.
You didn't know this was coming.
Oh,
I was about to ask you.
How the fuck did you get that?
Do you know what the good thing is?
I was going to ask you where you were for the Monaghan Kerry game.
I was watching that on repeat. That was the second time I saw that game.
No, it wasn't, because Christina can verify. She sent me the photo or the video this week on WhatsApp.
Christina, spare room tonight. Or Dave.
The beauty of that, Jimmy, as well, that could have been about any of about 8 Kerry matches. That's how bad it was watching.
Yeah, that wasn't great, no. And I wouldn't mind. That game was on in Fosseira Stadium about 2 minutes away from where I was at that second. That does say a lot about it.
Listen, we're not going to spend the evening talking about Kerry or Dublin because we have such an exciting pairing in the All-Ireland Football Final this year between Armagh and Galway. They brought so much colour and noise and just fun. A little bit like the hurling final at the weekend. That was a bit of crack.
Magic. I was there. You were there, T.
Yeah.
It was something else.
I feel like, did everyone kind of get caught up in the magic of the hurling at the weekend? Any Clare fans here?
Yeah. They haven't left. Where were you hiding for the last 4 days?
We had a couple of converted Clare fans as well that I'm going to get to in a second, because this is a big week for the Football Pod.
Yeah.
We had a show on Tuesday. We had our member show on Wednesday. We're here tonight on Thursday. On Friday, we have a secret Football Pod roadshow with thanks to AIB once more that only, I think, 20 Football Pod members are getting into with a secret guest in a secret venue.
Very secret.
You'll realise there we didn't have a show on Monday. Now, I was covering the Clare homecoming, and I knew I'd be under pressure. So I sent a message into the WhatsApp group on Sunday. Lads, can you dig me out? Can we record early on Monday morning? And this happened.
Off any chance, Dave. I'm on a rickshaw on the way to College Green, as you speak. I just got Shifra and her ma into the hotel. This is all going off in the hotel. This is great stuff. Up the fucking banner. No chance I'll do it by the end. I'll do it tomorrow night, maybe. Or maybe Tuesday. It was a fucking great night.
You give me too much to work with.
I told you before, you put too much stock in WhatsApp rumours. Never trust that on WhatsApp.
Right, will we?
And we sitting by the microphone waiting on Monday morning to get that plan.
You'd have been waiting a long time.
Will we get into the football?
Oh, wait, hang on. Before we go any further, it's fair enough you giving me and Paddy abuse every time we do a roadshow. It's about time we gave you a little bit back. You are, if anyone listens to the pod here weekly,
Jesus,
he's a black card merchant, right?
The Dark Destroyer.
The Dark Destroyer. I have a couple of photographs here that I want to show him, so we get stuck into him. Right? He's after absolutely killing some poor bastard.
It was only a yellow card. It was only a yellow card.
Probably. Only a yellow.
You fucking killed the guy there.
I got serious abuse for that game.
Go back to the first photo. Go back to the first one.
Oh my God. Stone Cold Stunner.
Okay.
Look at him. Right. Show the video. The video of this, right? Tommy said this was the harshest black card he's ever seen. Play the video.
Second half here, O'Gate. Cratchlow one goal four. Colin McInerney points in the second half. And again,
Brian O'Driscoll.
On the far side of the pitch, Chris McGuire is going over to deal with it.
I wouldn't mind. That was the second black card he got, and hence a
look at the reaction. You're like fucking Peter O'Mahony out there, the poor fella. Jesus Christ.
Look at. Podge Collins scored the winner in the semi-final and we won the county final, so it was okay. But if we didn't, I probably would have been kicked out of Cratlow.
Relax. It's a big night. Just relax. Just take a breath.
You know me.
None of that stuff tonight.
I get a little bit wound up sometimes. But that was the old me. I'm not going to be like that this year. If Chris McGuire or Niall Quinn or any of the other referees in Clare are watching, I'm going to be a good boy in the championship this year.
Go back. I trust you.
Lessons learned.
Right. Novel pairing this weekend, Galway and Armagh. We've got two legends joining us in the next couple of minutes. I'm really excited to get Stevie McDonald and Paul Clancy out. They have so many great stories. Two great teams to talk about. Are you looking forward to it, lads?
It's not the same.
I don't know if I could. I'm probably not going to watch it.
They put club championship for us on Saturday. Ruined our whole week. That was the worst thing that happened.
You can't even have a pint tonight.
No, not even a pint.
You might have one or two. You might have.
Last year, when we had Paul Gavin and Keane O'Sullivan, you were locked before we got on the stage.
How dare you? I was not. No, it is nice to see two counties that haven't been there against each other in a while, and not having Kerry and Dublin there, it does take pressure off. Like me going to watch a Kerry game at the moment, it's torture. First of all, obviously, they're probably not playing great, but like you have a knot in your stomach watching it constantly.
You'd be falling asleep watching them, man.
Yeah, but I'm gonna enjoy just watching the game. No pressure. Couldn't call it, though. It's absolute toss of a coin at the moment. Maybe if I hear the lads talk now, I might sway one way, but it's just going to be so tight. And no pressure, I'm actually looking forward to.
I think it's going to be a brilliant game. And look, everyone in this room, we'd be lying if we said 3 or 4 months ago, what's the All-Ireland final going to be? And you'd say it's going to be Galway or Armagh. No one had seen that coming. But what the last 4 or 5 weeks has shown, we've played probably talking about 300 games in this championship. Most of them haven't been great. But when it really got down to the nitty-gritty stuff over the last 4 weeks, these two teams have been the best teams. There's no ambiguity around that. Galway took out Dublin and Donegal, and they were full value for those wins. And Armagh, they got the monkey off the back beating Roscommon, and then the big win against Kerry, and there's no complaints. They blew Kerry away over that last 40 minutes. So you got the two best teams in the country at this time.
Yeah.
They've hit momentum at the right time, and I think it sets up, like we seen in the hurling last Sunday, an incredible spectacle, and there's every chance that this game on Sunday is going to live up to that as well.
But I reckon the way they'll both look at it is, they'll both never get it. Armagh will think, we can beat that Galway team, and Galway will think the exact same back. So the both teams are going in with it. It's kind of a strange one. Usually I played in a couple of finals against Dublin, and I suppose
you were never
deep down we probably knew that they had way more money than us. We knew that they were like an outstanding team, whereas I genuinely think that both these teams fancy themselves as the better side.
Yeah.
And even on the financial scales.
Well, I think it's time to get one of our special guests out. This guy was an absolute baller. He was one of the best forwards that we've seen this century. It's Stevie from Killeavy. Stevie McDonald.
Hey.
All right, yeah. Good man.
Good man. Good man. Good man.
Well, how are you?
How are you?
Great.
Keeping good.
Like the look of that boy beside you.
I know. You can swap seats to me if you want.
We'll wait till Sunday. Build it up a wee bit more, you know.
They're hard won, aren't they?
Well, we've only ever won one, so they're extremely hard won, yeah.
What's the noise and the colour? Have you lost your minds in Armagh the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's a good Armagh support. I think Armagh actually got the loudest cheer, by the way. It wasn't 50-50. You say 50-50?
Jimmy says 50-50.
51-49.
Give us another cheer, Armagh.
And it's going right back to the hill there.
Yeah, the county has gone absolutely crazy. From the final whistle in the semi-final against Kerry, you could see it out there in the stands. The atmosphere was electric.
Well, you say that.
Fuck off, you.
TikTok.
That's my wife and son.
Go bad, Stevie.
Give us another look at McDonald and Herky when it comes back around. You've lost.
All Herky behind me.
Stevie and Herky behind you. Stephen McDonald is the most followed footballer on TikTok. Go follow him. He knows what he's doing on TikTok. like, what was that like, actually, not working at the game, being at it as a fan in the Davin end? Because you've got to experience a bit of that this year, haven't you?
Yeah. It's probably harder than playing. So it is. I've obviously worked at plenty of the games, but being a supporter, being an Armagh supporter sometimes, they really work your heartbeat. So they do, and they put you through plenty of emotions. And I think, what?
No penalties.
No.
Was that early?
Thank God.
No penalty shootout.
You know what? Early. Isn't it amazing that the penalty shootout was first invented in Armagh?
Yeah.
Was
that? Yeah,
fact,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Invented in a place called Guildford in Armagh. Jeez. And we can't fucking hit them.
Glad you said it, Stevie.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So...
You weren't a bad footballer yourself, Stevie. 7 Ulster medals, that All-Ireland title we talked about. I think we've got a couple of the little clips here. We might just luxuriate in the brilliance of Stevie McDonald here.
Lovely.
You kicked the winner in the All-Ireland final in 2002. Like, that's going to come up on screen here in a second.
The right peg.
When I asked Stevie earlier on that when he kicked the winner in 2002.
That's class.
When was it? How long was left? 30 seconds to go? 15 seconds to go?
I wish it was 10 seconds ago. There was actually 12 minutes left of the game where we had to hold on for a full 12 Oof. Minutes. That point there is my favourite ever, by
that's
the way.
That's the dub.
Yeah, it was my favourite ever. And that's one of my favourite goals.
Yeah, that's a beaut.
But 12 minutes left that we had to hold on for our dear lives. And,
I love that dummy.
Bring back them days.
Round of applause. That's for it. Stevie McDonald. What a footballer. Come on. But
Tom,
if only TikTok was around them days.
Yeah.
But Stevie, all those scores there, like the amount of long ball going into you that time.
Yeah.
Like that's
kind
of when I started really probably falling in love with football, those games when you were involved in. The long ball going into yourself and Clark, diagonals, shots over the shoulder. Like nobody does it anymore. It's all so safe. Like a lot of those scores wouldn't be scored now because it's kind of being worked up the field slowly. Do you know what I mean? Wouldn't you just love to see someone just go for it and throw an outside the right diagonal?
Yeah, back then there was, for an inside forward, there was definitely a level of risk taking with point scoring. So there was, when you think of some of the points from angles, Stevie O'Neill, for example.
Yeah.
Would you see a player nowadays taking shots, pot shots, from the angles that he was putting balls over the bar?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And that was brilliant. But, you know, we're very critical sometimes and far too fast to be critical of the game nowadays. But there's probably more scores in the game now, in the games now, than what there was before. Probably not coming off the back of long, direct balls, but they're being worked up the field a wee bit differently. And maybe that's what's annoying people. It's taking a wee bit longer to get that ball from defense to attack.
Less off the cuff.
Less off the cuff, and players are probably waiting for a 90% shot as we're.
Yourself and Ronan Clare came in, he was only young for an 0-2. Dermot Marsden was there just before you guys, and like there was no, you could win your own ball. There was no, we need to hand it to this fella. Your players out the pitch backed you guys to win it. Yeah. Kerry at that time, Donaghy comes on the scene, and the same thing, put the ball inside to him, and it's, I don't know, maybe because we're forwards, but it's probably more exciting to watch. I agree, maybe it's more clinical now in how teams build up. And this current Armagh team have probably been questioned about being maybe too aligned to that when they've got the likes of Mernon or Turbot inside, who can obviously win their own ball as well. But looking back, and obviously coming up to this show tonight, and you were coming on, and we would have been growing up at the time, falling in love with GAA at that time. But the football then, it would sound like an elf, like, oh, it was way better back then. But it seemed like it was more pure. The skill level was off the charts to see, and it's, you just love to see glimpses of that on Sunday, because you look at the forward lines from both of those teams, they have boys that can win their own ball as well. Like, you know, that's not a question mark. Like.
Yeah, listen, in an ideal world, what we'd love to see in the first 10 minutes of Sunday is midfielders getting the ball and pumping it in there and really testing the full back lines. Mm. You know, if I was playing, I'd be demanding the ball. And that's what we done back then. Inside forwards demand the ball. Porrick Joyce, he fucking demanded the ball. If it wasn't coming in, he would eat the head of the players out the field. That's what we done. If it wasn't coming in, what was my job for the team? Yeah. You know, ultimately, my primary job for the team, while you have to work hard and all of that there, was to get scores. And I can't get scores if the ball's not coming into me. And if I was playing the game nowadays, I'd be null and void with the way I played.
Yeah. I was watching 2006 highlights the last day. Oh, the game that day was unbelievable against Kerry.
Kerry, yeah.
That was just up and down, diagonal balls, winning it.
You only
over
the games Kerry win, do you?
Yeah.
You don't look at any of the bad ones.
We were very lucky to win that game. Actually,
we
were very good in the first half that day. I think Owen Brosnan toe-poked a goal in just before half-time. Yeah. Give Kerry a lifeline, and they come out in the second half. Donaghy obviously scored that goal where he rounded Francie, but that was a brilliant game of football. We got our chance. We came back into it a wee bit late in the second half, but we should have seen that game out by the first half, because we were playing long direct ball consistently. And myself and Clarkey, I can remember, it was Mark O'Shea picked me up at the start, and he was moved off me after 10 minutes. Then I think Mike McCarthy was on Clarkey, and he came over to me for a while, and he was moved off. They couldn't contain us at all, but it was simply down to the level of ball and the speed at which it was coming into us. Yeah. And we thrived on that. That was our game. But listen, my job was, and
wow, yeah,
I would love it if we could witness the likes of him get out and playing on Sunday again.
Mm. Yeah. You have a fairly colourful history with Galway over the last couple of years. And I think that's where we'll bring out our Galway guest today. He was one of my favourite footballers growing up. He'd pulled off some of the best moves I've ever seen in a football field. Two-time All-Ireland winner. He's an absolute legend of my colour and his club. He's done every single job there that can be done. Paul Clancy, everybody, please.
How are you, Paul? How are you?
Stevie.
Aaron James.
Hey.
Paddy.
In the hot seat.
Yeah. Cheers.
Paul, how are you?
Good, Tommy, how are you?
What's the crack in Galway? Are you going as wild as the lads in Armagh and all the
Well, the arts festival's on this week, so pretty relaxed.
You're also cultured in Galway. You're just
No, it's picked up. It's picked up since, the semi-final. Probably the quarter-final against Dublin. After winning that, everybody got rolling. you know, so and then there was a huge Galway crowd in semi-final, and then I think with it's a kind of a good pair in ourselves and Armagh, so I think both of us think we have a great chance. So everyone in Galway wants to go at this stage.
Yeah, no, I was mentioning there the colourful history between Galway and Armagh. It's funny, you two boys have actually been a part of two of the most symbolic, say, sports documentaries or books. You were a part of Declan Bogue's This Is Our Year in 2011. You might know it for the Kevin Cassidy stories with Jim McGuinness. We might come back to that on another night. But you were a part of the 1998 documentary, A Year Till Sunday. It was revealed on the pod a couple of weeks ago that people in Kerry have never watched this. Yeah. They didn't realise football had happened back in 1998. What was going on in 98 when Pat Comer, the sub-goalkeeper on the squad, was actually videoing this?
Yeah, like I think you'd probably have to go back to 98. Like, this was pre-mobile phones. Pat is a filmmaker, quite bohemian guy, you know, and that's fairly acceptable in Galway. And on the panel, he just decided Pat was going to film us for the year or a week, or we didn't really know how it was going to go. And it just rolled on from there then. And he just had a camera, or he left it in the corner of the dressing room, and everyone ignored it, I think.
You didn't mind, like?
No, nobody, I don't think anybody paid any attention to it.
Yeah, because it's amazing. And if anyone is like James Dunne and you haven't watched it, please go and watch it on YouTube this week. James, give us your review.
Huh?
Give us your review.
Unbelievable show. To be fair, no, class. But I mean, just how, when John O'Mahony was giving a speech, is there a fella in the dressing room with a fucking camera? I don't know how he gets away with it. And never does John O'Mahony ever even look next or near the camera either. It's like...
he would actually position the camera, like, he'd know that Jono might be in the middle of the, you know, talking to the lads on each side, so he would position it here, like, on a gear bag.
Would he ever say, hang on, John, say that again?
No. You know, John was the type of man now that you wouldn't ask him to say it twice, like, you know.
Yeah.
Or he'd have it up in the corner of the room or the dressing room and just took hours of footage. And then edited it down.
Spielberg there. Jesus
no.
He did the Sean O'Gohalpin one as well. So he, you know, Pat's good.
Yeah, no, we'll have to do something with Pat down the line on that. I brought Jono up. We've lost a couple of legends in the GAA of late, but just what an impact he had all over the West. You know, Leitrim, Mayo, Galway. An unbelievable person. I'm sure he had an unbelievable influence on you. You might tell us about that. But also that there's a little Armagh connection there as well with John O'Mahony.
Yeah, John's son-in-law is Pádraig McKeever. Who has the McKeever Sports. So he sponsors the jerseys, I think, for Armagh. And actually, a lot of clubs in Galway as well. And he's a sound man. So yeah, it was very sad to lose John there. It was a bit of a shock to everybody. He was sick for a while. But, you know, we'd all kind of seen him on and off. It wasn't... Over the last 20 years, you know, he would have had an influence on us when we were young, but also would have checked in as we went on. So,
yeah,
we had our 25-year jubilee last year, and it was, like, looking back now, it was nice to have everybody together for that weekend, you know, so.
We were at the semi-final, obviously, the Donegal, myself and T, were up at level 7, and the tribute before throw-in. And the Saw Doctors have never got played as much in Croke Park, I tell you, but they had it on, and it was a massive crowd, Donegal crowd as well, but you could just see the respect across the board for Jono. Special man by all accounts.
He was a really, you know, sound man, caring man. So, yeah, I'd be sadly missed.
Yeah. Just wanted to mention John O'Mahony there before we move on to the colourful history between Armagh and Galway. We know about the quarterfinal in 2022, a game that had absolutely everything. We're not going to play any highlights here, so...
You're not allowed.
Lads can relax, exactly. Hereafter, Armagh win by a point. This year, it's a draw. But the rivalry really starts with a certain Paul Clancy doing this back in 2001. A winner in the last minute of the game. Wrong video.
That's the away kit for Armagh.
That's better.
What a goal.
We'll come back to that. We'll watch that about 10 times, don't worry. If we have the pocket, we might not have the Paul Clancy point. But, Paul, that year in 01, come off the bench, that's a big year for you, because in 98 you're injured for a lot of that year. You break your leg, you come on in the All-Ireland final. In 0-1 then, you come off the bench that day and you scored a winner. You start the All-Ireland final against Meath. That was important for you that year, I'd imagine, that impact.
Yeah, I broke my leg in 2001 as well.
Did you?
Yeah, so like the lads used to say, every time I broke my leg, we won the All-Ireland. So it was, you know.
Still a couple of days.
Your leg's okay there now. Fine. They look okay.
Or a choice is looking for
you. Yeah. I might have to take one for the team. But I was just getting back that time against Armagh. So I came on at halftime. And I think we started quite well in that game, and then they thundered back into it and really had the run of us, and we just got turned over the ball and managed to kick a point at the end and just scrape through. Yeah. And the lads went on to win All-Ireland then shortly afterwards. So it was a tough game, very quality teams, and there was never too much between us.
Kind of similar to right now, Stevie and Paddy. I think you wanted to come in on this as well, because Armagh had a couple of hard luck stories in 99, 2000,
01. We were just chatting off as All-Ireland champions. So 99 was the breakthrough. Obviously, our GAA president was captain that year. Meade ended up beating in the All-Ireland semi-final. And they go on and win the All-Ireland. There's the incredible games against Kerry in the semi-finals and the replay. Maurice Fitz, he's won that one in the end, Jimmy. You'd be happy. But you went on and won the All-Ireland. And in 2001, we're gone. We're the first year at the back door. And it's another such a near miss. To finally you get to the All-Ireland final, the first time ever, or the first time in so long since 1977, but the first time for all you players, and you go and win it straight out. And for all of these Armagh players, all the hard luck stories they've had in Ulster finals and national leagues and penalty shootouts, it's their first All-Ireland final on Sunday. And that can be a burden in some cases, but for you guys, you went out, all the hard luck stories, and you won it. You took out Kerry, so is there similarities there? How did you approach that final? And what would you say to this team coming into their first All-Ireland final?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. The heartache with the Corran team of losing four penalty shootouts and being so close to teams who did kick on and compete in an All-Ireland final day. Definitely, they have to take a lot of heart from that. What I would say is, back in the day, we experienced that there, but we never really let it get to us. People were saying that there was a monkey on our back. We couldn't win a game in Croke Park. And for us, the big thing was, right, we came to the quarterfinal in 02, played Sligo, got off to a great start. Sligo come back at us, had an opportunity to knock us out. They didn't. Darren McGarty fisted the ball over the bar, went to replay. So we didn't. We still hadn't won that fucking game. So, sorry about my language.
Is that right, Steve? You're great.
So, we went to the semi-final. The big monkey off our back was the semi-final against Dublin.
The Dubs.
And seeing that game.
The Dubs, jeez.
And getting across the line. And
I've heard you say before.
Yeah.
That's one of the highlights of your career was that game. Why?
I think the atmosphere, you know, when you play Dublin, they always bring a carnival atmosphere almost. Like, and there's for a forward kicking into the hill when it's full of sea blue and whatever, you know, that's especially when you're scoring points into it, it's brilliant. But
a story from that. I was on the hill that day. My brother was playing wing back. I think he was marking Paddy McKeever, but Whelan gets a goal for Dublin off the crossbar. Over, was Benny Tierney in goal or was Herty?
Benny Tierney was in goal,
and he gets the goal, and I swear to God, I was fucking catapulted about 40 rows down to the front, and that was just, you were young Flan the Hill, and it was an incredible, because Dublin had been terrible for 7 years since they won in 95, so it was a massive thing for them as well to be there, and there was, you felt like both teams had such momentum, and whoever got over that was going to be in a brilliant place for the final, and it turned out it was you guys.
Yeah, and Kieran Whelan scored his goal not too long after Paddy McKeever got our goal. Yeah. And there was very little between them two teams at that time as well. But it was a case of grinding out. It was point for point in the damn minutes. And then we all know what happened with Ray Cosgrove. But we spoke about this earlier on, Tommy. The free that Ray hit the post with, there was four or five Armagh players that reacted. The ball over the bar, it didn't happen. So we came out with the ball, final whistle went, monkey off our back. That was it. The similarity with the current team is, and people say, you know, beating Kerry was massive. But I would say actually winning the quarterfinal and getting that Croke Park monkey off their back and beating the team here was massive. And it really gave them the confidence and the belief to kick on and see out the final maybe 15 minutes of extra time against Kerry here that a week and a half ago.
Do you have many memories of, because we were just, it's actually lovely being here and seeing Croke Park and how serene it is on the Thursday night before the Sunday, and the pitch is in unbelievable condition. And we were looking out there and I was like, can you remember where you did that or where that happened? And I asked you about the All-Ireland final. You don't remember a huge amount about the actual All-Ireland final, do you?
What I remember was the pre-match parade going up towards the hill and just the sea of flags. I think that was massive in the game 20 years ago. Mm. There was flags everywhere, you know, and you would love to see that type of colour in the ground come Sunday again. You know, the orange and white was spectacular. There was some green and yellow there as well, you know. But it was absolutely brilliant. There was a great
picture.
They
couldn't see a thing with the flag waving in their face.
Yeah, it was all right for us. We could see all right in the pitch. So we could. But that was, you know, that really lifts a player. And I said it before the semi-final. The Armagh support can really be the 16th man, and we really were. Particularly in extra time of that semi-final, really got behind the team. And when you're on the field of play, and you'll all agree, lads, when your team gets behind you and are showing that level of support, right, it really gives you a lift on the field. And and while you try not to be distracted by it, you know, it really, really gets you going, so it does. And that's probably what I remember about the damn moments of that final as well, is the support getting behind us.
Just for Paul, from your All-Ireland final, the second victory over Meath, you steamrolled them in the second half. And we've played in finals, and generally, and I think Sunday certainly is going to fall into this, there's no time to take stuff in. Do you remember that? Like, no, because it's so manic, and it's usually coming down to the last second or the last play. What was it like in 2001 where you're 8 or 9 points up with the last 5 or 6 minutes to go, and you can kind of maybe relax and soak up a bit of the All-Ireland feeling, you know, with 10 minutes to go, we're going to win this thing?
Yeah, maybe not with 10 minutes to go, but I think, like, we went in level at half time, and it was a kind of a cagey enough game. Mm. And we got to kind of the middle of the second half, and Meath had a penalty, and they missed the penalty, and we went straight down and scored, and then they were down a man, and then we got a run of scores. And I do remember very, like, with a couple of minutes to go, thinking, yeah, this is over.
You had it wrapped up, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever have it wrapped up with, because, like, it was drilled into us that these guys would come back, and, you know, you're not going to pull up then with a few minutes to go. They had some serious players, and, you know, if they went 13, if they got back to 13-10, you wouldn't know what had happened. But, like, at that, I think Declan Meehan got in and literally was from here to the net and drove it over the bar. And I was like, if he put that in, we could have probably relaxed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in the end, we probably had about 3 or 4 minutes near the end where you could enjoy it. And we were playing into the hill as well. Like, so, yeah, that was enjoyable for the last few minutes.
At least he didn't fist it over. Kicks but, it over, you yeah. take it, fist it over.
Talking about fisting it over the bar, sometimes it's important. Oisín McConville fists a very important point over there.
In that semi-final against Dublin, Oisín fisted the point to put us a point up.
Yeah.
Took on Paul Casey down the end line. Fisted it over the bar, done a wee lap of honour around behind the goal like Oshie does, and
he would be down through that.
Enjoy the moment, you know.
Do you like the fisted point? Would you get rid of it? If there's new rules coming in now, they have a chance.
Don't set him off on this.
Well, what I will say,
here for the next 3 hours.
Point.
What would I will say about a fisted point is, see the point that I scored against Dublin, the one that I kicked over the bar.
Yeah,
it's the same value as a fisted point.
Mm. Yeah, I know it is, but...
So, I don't care how to kick
one, the score. 1% of the skill.
Well, I'll take a one-point, fisted point win on Sunday.
Go bad, Stevie.
We know the opportunity that's in front of the Armagh and Galway players this weekend. They are hard won. You've won one. You've won one. You've won two. Can't remember how many you've won, but... They're very hard to get to, and they're very hard to win. I mentioned we're here tonight with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. AIB have also given everybody in the room tonight a chance to win a pair. We have two tickets to the All-Ireland final of the weekend. So what we've done is, I think everyone's got a raffle ticket, and later on in the show, we'll be drawing two tickets, and we'll let you come up here, and you can fight it out for the tickets.
So fight to the death.
We'll see that later on. So I just want to talk about All-Ireland finals and moments in them, because they're really important. Really, really important to, I suppose, take your chance when it's there. And Tommy Walsh, the great Kilkenny hurler, was talking to me about this at the weekend, that you can't let big games pass you by, but you just cannot let an All-Ireland final pass you by. And Paul Clancy, you came up with a big moment in the year 2000. We got a snippet of the video earlier. I feel like this is the greatest goal that's ever been scored in an All-Ireland football final. Let's have a look at this. So this, the ball was actually caught this day underneath the crossbar by Kevin Walsh, and it comes out. What? This is an unbelievable Galway team. Is this Pádraig Joyce that gets the ball here? He was involved in the move a little earlier. Does he mean this pass to you? And I watched this.
His brother is there, so he could be looking for him.
Paul Clancy. Wow. What a pass. To Declan Meehan.
Yeah, cheers, Paddy.
Like,
one of the great goals.
I know you and Declan Meehan are best.
There's a wee touch of Rory Griggan in that, isn't there?
Talk to us about that, because, like, did you see him? Did you just take a chance? Like, what's going on there?
Was it a shot?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns now at this stage. But, you know, myself and Declan played on the same wing. So, like, even if he was marking a taller player, I'd slip back the wing back, he'd go wing forward, you know. So that kind of understanding, and we would have played football together for Galway since we were 16. So, and I had maybe popped, like, he's extremely fast, and I was trying to put that ball into space in front of him.
Did he call it? Could you hear a call? Or
no, but he knew as well. Like we were that, like, that kind of interchange chemistry was on. Like, and it's nearly like, you know, in the World Cup where, you know, you got the goalie said, he told him the day before, I'll put you in. You know, it's nearly like those conversations happen all the time, like, give me that first ball, or look, if I get a chance, I'll put you in. So, like, those conversations go on all the time. And then it's, if I was actually playing full forward, so I just come out of there. So I knew there was nobody in there, so I just kind of popped it in front of him. And he, like, when I'm talking about pace, he was lightning. And then the finish, sometimes people talk about the pass, but the finish is unbelievable.
You know? Ridiculous.
So, yeah, so it's a good team goal, but we still lost the All-Ireland to Kerry. Which is, you know,
great day.
He had a great day.
I can't believe Joyce was out that deep as well, because
he's in the cornerback slot.
Yeah,
the only time he's ever been seen there.
Yeah, so I think
Seamus Moynihan
was full back,
and Joyce legged it out of full back, full forward.
And so I think that's the replay. So I was playing 14. I went in 14 in the first game. And we went down a lot, and Pádraig went out to centre forward, and then we kind of kept that for the replay, and then kind of interchanged a little bit. You know, I think to kind of play more than one position.
Yeah. You mentioned chemistry there with Declan Meehan. You would have actually been involved in coaching the same under-21 team that the likes of Damien Comer and Shane Walsh broke through on. Yeah. What were those two boys like at that age? Could you see them coming? Because Comer was nearly a little bit unheralded when he broke through. Yeah. He was a hard-working wing forward.
Yeah, so, Declan Meehan was there as well. Most things that happen in football were not too far away from each other. So he said, oh, Damien Comer, I saw him playing for his club, and he's unbelievable. So he had kind of spotted Damien early.
Did he?
Yeah, and then he said, I think he's a full forward. And I said, I don't see it. You know, so I just, you know, at
where
the time...
Where did you think? Wing?
Yeah, wing forward, I thought... Like, my career as a coach or manager didn't last too long. So, but he was an excellent wing forward and got a smashing goal in the final. Mm. And then, you know, Shane was just Shane then. Shane is just that one of those talents that you just nearly have to just let him off.
Where did you play Shane that time?
13. So we 13 created and a little... and just 13 and just come out on a kind of a triangle in front of the goal.
Because we were talking about it on the pod last week. The two of them need to play really well together the weekend, don't they? Like, they've actually struggled to play brilliantly together at times. Yeah. One's always been 10 out of 10, and the other has been quiet.
Yeah.
Like, they need to get them both playing well, giving the ball to each other, and being 2 7 out of 10s rather than one being 10 and one being quiet.
That's where someone like, it might necessarily be both of them direct. It could be someone like Finnerty, who can facilitate both of them. Like, we've seen it so many times the last couple of years, particularly when they got to the final the last day. Shane Walsh has a really quiet, Conor McCluskey gets the better in the Derry semi-final, but Comer has an incredible game, 2-3. Then in the final, Comer doesn't do anything against Kerry, and Walsh has this day for the ages. And you're just thinking, if both of the, they're both X-factor players, and if they play well together, everyone's fucked, basically. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it just hasn't happened. And it might necessarily be both of them to supply each other. If someone like a player like you,
yeah,
or Grugan does it brilliantly for Armagh, Brian McGuigan from Tyrone, or Finnerty can be that guy, even though he's clipping scores himself, someone to just link them both together.
Yeah.
Because as good as that defence is with Armagh, probably their strongest aspect or a really strong foundation they work from, if those two guys click on Sunday,
that's the game.
That's the game.
Did they have that chemistry at the time?
Yeah, they did. I think at the time it wasn't as structured. You'd have maybe a formation up front, but there's a lot of structured play now up front that, yeah, you know, it's going wide and deep. It's coming on the loop. It's waiting for somebody to pick that right pass. Galway actually do that. They come up the both channels. Yeah. So sometimes when it's unstructured, you can pick those passes a little bit easier.
Yeah.
People can find a little bit of space. And I think actually the other forwards, there was such a gap maybe between Damien and Shane and some of the other forwards, but the others have upped their game a little bit and there's been a bit of a spread of scores. If we got a bit more, there's certainly chemistry there between them. Whether we can get enough of it to get goals and points at the weekend, I don't know.
Ye had some attack. What was your chemistry like between yourself and Clark and Marsden? Then you had John McEntee and McConville, and would it have been Paddy McKeever starting in?
Yeah, Paddy was starting, yeah.
What way did Ye let that flow? Like, was it every man for himself, or were you working together, or what way did it go?
No, we are really working together for a bit. Maybe 5 or 6 years before myself and Clarkie broke on to the scene, it was Jamard and Oisin. They were the main players up front. And I think when me and Clarkie did break into the scene, Jamard did change his game. You know, he changed it to become the worker in the inside line. Not saying that myself and Clarkie didn't work, but, you know, we were more the focal point inside than anything else. And Jamard didn't mind drifting out and changing to adapt to I suppose, make us gel better together, I think it was. But listen, Oisin was a very confident forward, and on any day, you're always confident he'll get 4 or 5 points at least. John McEntee was a brilliant playmaker, so he was a very physical player as well. And you knew John McEntee could kick a ball 70 yards, so he could.
It's ridiculous. He'd not believe it.
Easily 70 yards. And once he got to an area of the field, it was just a case of us. Right, make the run now, because it was coming. There was no delay in the ball. There was no toe-tapping it. There was no slowing it down. It was coming. Simple as that. And we had to learn to work and fight and grind. And what we always said was, probably similar to your inside line at the time, Paul, just get it in. We don't give a shit if it's good, bad, or indifferent. Get it in. Give us a chance to fight for it. That's simple as that there. You know, Paul McGrain always has a great saying, get it in the mixer. You know, if it's not in the mixer, you're not going to score.
But you boys obviously worked on winning dirty ball. Like, that doesn't just happen by fluke, or doesn't just happen if you're able to throw yourself about.
No, I'll tell you how we worked on winning dirty ball. Paul Grimley, our coach, fucking loved intensity in training sessions. And what he done was 21-yard line, the 45-metre line, tuck the goals in from the sideline, about 5 yards each side. Every kick out just up in the air had to be broke. You had to win the ball. Now, you're winning the ball, and you've got Jamard Marsden, who was probably the best tackler in the team. Kieran McGeaney, the McNulty brothers, who are dogs. The McEntees. You know, if you're coming out with a ball, you're getting absolutely battered. So, if you're spilling the ball, you're not getting game time on a Sunday. So, we knew come game day, It wasn't a walk in the park, but you could win a ball.
You've learned how to
because you're coming up against some of the best dirty ball winners in the game in our training sessions, and that was night after night. And the amount of times you left the pitch bloodied and bruised simply because of one small-sided game, probably the size of this room actually, and that was 30 players fighting it out to win a ball.
We talk about Armagh. There's that famous clip of Jono in A Year Till Sunday holding up the paper and saying, Galway fancy dance. Did you take that to heart?
Yeah, I think we did. You know, like, we're I think we were kind of flashy enough up front and didn't think we had any substance, so we were kind of, you know, and John hated anyone writing anything about us. He took it personally, like, you know, and you hear that, you know, pinning the newspaper up in the dressing room, but like that was a living embodiment of it. And, you know, calling us fancy Dans, you know, you do take that personally. And as a team, you didn't want to be labeled like being soft, you know, like even Stevie describing that. Imagine us being fancy Dans and them training like dogs up in Armagh, like, you know, so. And we had to come up against players like that. Mm. So I suppose we probably needed a bit of a check to say, okay, well, you know, let's not get carried away with ourselves here and then like knuckle down. And because we mightn't have been, had the reputation, but a lot of tough boys playing on that team as well. Like, we were young, but we were hardy, let's put it that way.
It's funny, because Porrick has spoken before, and he's spoken really well about it, and this is actually something we might get in the second part of the show in terms of the backroom team, but he's spoken about, when he first came in, he spoke about winning All-Ireland straight away, we were going to play fancy football, and then he realised he needed the likes of John Dively and Keane O'Neill to do the work that they've done in the background to get their defensive shape there and add that bit of grit. You both know Porrick Joyce and Kieran McGeaney very well. You know Kieran Donaghy very well, but yourself and Donaghy actually go way back too. Myself and James got into a bit of a scuffle on the football pod this week. I want the railway. And you'd love the international rules to come back.
Absolutely, yeah.
You loved playing for Ireland.
Yeah.
It was 6 series, 12 games, the record point score in the international rules, and you loved the little scrap as well. Where did it come from? Why did you love it so much?
I was a skillful player at the other end. Just enjoyed the game. I played it smartly. And that's probably where I got a lot of my points from. The mark was in the game.
Mm.
I love the mark in that game. I hate the mark in our own game. Absolutely detest the mark. It takes away a forward's natural instinct to take a player on and go for scores.
Yeah.
But in that game, you know, if you make a run and you get a ball, take your mark, you've got a free kick. Very simple. You know, and if any capabilities of kicking a ball over the bar, you know, that's your best chance. It's just a brilliant game. I enjoyed it. You get to play with the best players in the country, and that's what I really loved about it. And I did get the opportunity to play a few series with Kieran Donaghy, and, you know, he's a brilliant teammate. He was a good decoy as well.
But you were given I was listening to you talking to Thomas Niblock about this. You were given a wee bit of advice that kind of helped you out. And I'm sorry we don't have the footage now of the 06 game in Salt Hill, but tell us about the advice you were given and how you came to Kieran Donaghy's aid that day.
I'm not putting on that Kerry accent again. So Kieran made the breakthrough in 2006.
Yeah.
Kicked on and won the All-Ireland. I think he might have got footballer of the year that year, was he?
He was, yeah.
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 So our first game in the International Rules is over in Salt Hill. And I have to say, of all the games I played in the International Rules, the atmosphere in Salt Hill that night was by far the best. Absolutely brilliant. A tight pitch, packed out stadium, and it was absolutely brilliant. But Kieran was the new kid on the block, making his debut. So the Aussies, before the game, decide we'll fucking rough him up a wee bit here. And he didn't know what to expect. He wasn't pre-warned about what the Aussies would do. So I look over, I'm playing corner forward, Kieran's a full forward. I think Benny Colder was the other corner forward. I look over and the Aussie's punching the head of Kieran and he's standing, doesn't know what to fucking do. So I just run over and punch the head of the Aussie and Kieran always says, "I'll never forget you sticking off me." But the way they operated, and I learned very fast.
Was that your Kerry accent again, was it?
What's that?
Was that your Kerry accent again?
No, 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 no.
Go on, go.
The way
for
it. I am my ship. Hey, this is on YouTube tomorrow. No, the way the Aussies were, listen, if they thought they could walk over the top of you, they would do that all day long. But if you actually stood up to them, they would show you a bit of respect. And by doing that there, I think I earned a wee bit of respect for both myself and Kieran.
Do you know, do you ever go on a night out with him? And there was a couple of younger fellas. And, you know, you'd hear South Africa's dangerous and don't be going up to the bar, you'd be robbed and all this stuff. So Donaghy, come down into us. Lads, give me your money. Give me €150 a man. Free drink for the night. I'll get on to the barman and the bouncer and we'll have all the drink dropped down. Jesus, Dan, he's a legend. Fair play to him. giving them all our South African rand, 150 euros or whatever. Next thing, about an hour into the club, we didn't have one drink in front of us. And we said, we'll go looking for Donaghy. Over in the corner, there was Donaghy, Mark O'Shea, Darren Sullivan, and a few more. A table full to the brim of vodkas, gins, champagne. There was fucking dancers at their table. Donaghy sees then comes over and gives us two bottles of local wine or something. Be careful now with that, lads. That's 9%. Off you go there, out the way. Like. Oh, but like he was a great teammate. You could get him to look after you for anything, and just a solid, solid fellow. I think that he's embraced Armagh.
Yeah.
And I think that the Armagh players have embraced him because he gives you this confidence just about yourself. Just naturally, he'll say something that'll just make you feel. So, yeah, so
there's an aura about Kieran Sutter. He's a huge presence. He's a great character, brilliant character. I've never ever seen him in bad form.
No,
never seen him in bad form. So he brings out the best in players. So he does. He encourages players nonstop, and surely that filters through to their mindset. And he would be making them believe that they are the best in their position all the time.
100%.
Isn't it critical for any backroom team? You look at all the successful and people look at backrooms and go, there's too fucking many of them, or there's 50 of them. There's always one or two people in there. The manager is the manager, and the manager can't really be mates with the players. That's, you know, and you look at the head to Sunday, you've got two iconic players, two of those counties' most iconic players, unbelievable leaders. Might be quite hard with the players at times, but they'd have absolute respect from everyone. Sometimes players need a bit of an arm around the shoulder there, like. And it's not always the manager that did that. That person, whoever that is, whether it's Donaghy, and you can see it. You know Donaghy, what he's like with people. We had a Declan Darcy, he was unbelievable for us with Dublin. He spoke very well about John O'Mahony from his time at Leitrim. Jim wasn't going to give you an arm around the shoulder, but you need someone to kind of back you up on that confidence. And it's so big for players. Because you look particularly this day and age and what's going to happen for both of the teams on Sunday, the impact off the bench is critical. And whether you like it or not, no fucking player wants to be an impact sub. They all want to play in Soupy Campbell or
finisher.
Johnny Heaney and all that. Call it a finisher and call it whatever you want. You want to be starting. So they're going to get bad news during the week. And that's where someone like Donaghy or if it's Divo or Galway, you go, listen, you're going to win this game for us for 10 or 15 minutes. And you can just see it, the reaction after the big wins they've had, the players respond to those coaches as well. Mm. It's such a pivotal role. And it's brilliant for McGeaney to bring someone like Donaghy in because it's a left field choice to go up to Armagh. And then for Joyce, who's obviously this aura about him, and then he has someone like Divo or Keane O'Neill to come in with him as well.
Or is it Scan? Is it John Kincannon who's playing that role?
Johnny Kincannon.
Yeah, so I suppose John Kincannon, known as Scan. So if you're from Milltown, you're a Scan. That's the in Galway, in North Galway, all parishes have certain kind of nicknames. And so Scan, if you're from Milltown, and he's just the ambassador of Milltown, so that's what he's called, Scan.
And he would have been like a prodigy.
So he was probably our best forward at minor level. We lost the, was it 1994 minor final? And John Kincannon, Scan was full forward on that, and PJ was 12. So the two lads have been friends since school, really. And John Dively was wing back then as well, so...
Putting out the corner forwards onto the wings.
exactly.
Comer and Joyce both out in the wings. You can't imagine it.
Pori played most of his underage football at 12 and then kind of went into full forward as a senior, you know, so.
Unless he was marking Seamus Moynihan.
I think the boys knew each other down in Tralee Ithiel, they're best mates. So, you know, whether it was a matchup that suited us or not, you know, so. Like, I don't think PJ would have minded going in, Mark and Seamus Moynihan, but they were two serious players at that time.
Oh, unbelievable.
We probably had to give Seamus a different look at times, like, you know.
He's an animal.
Was it Footballer of the Year in 2000 and Footballer of the Year in 2001? Am I getting that wrong? Moynihan in 2000 and then Joyce in 2001?
Definitely 2000, yeah.
Yeah, and then Joyce, 10 points in the All-Ireland final.
Declan Meehan got it, did he? Declan Meehan get Footballer of the Year? Joyce.
I think there was a few footballers of the year at that time.
I think there was, actually.
So you could get a different version of it.
Yeah, there was.
So I think
the football pod, footballer of the year.
Yeah, you could.
We'll work.
Yeah, we need to do that, T. Yeah. Take a note.
But Paul, just before we're going to take a break in a few minutes, because Paddy Andrews starts his career cornerback, Martin Colin Cooper, ends up in the forwards.
Let me tell you about this fucker. Hold on.
No, we're not getting there. You start your career in the full forward.
Let me tell you this about him first, because I've let him off the hook with this. Grew up watching Stevie Mack, right? So you get onto the Dublin senior team. We were playing them in a league game, Division 2 league game. Was it a Cross McLean, Stevie? Yeah. Was it? 2008. And I'm watching from the sideline. This Armagh team are fucking beasts. And I'm a little kid and I'm going, please God, don't come on today. Like, and about 10 minutes into the game, someone got injured. And Pillar Caffrey's the Dublin coach. Goes, Paddy, go out and warm up. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, you're going in. So get the kid off. And he's like, where am I going on? And he goes, go in there full back on Stevie McDonald. Are you definitely sure? In you go. So I'm going in, going, what legend, like, Jesus, fucking come in, shake his hands, or trot in, put the hand out, and this fella, like fucking Rocky Balboa, into the stomach. I, honest to God, I started crying. I was like, is this, I don't want to play football anymore. Never meet your fucking heroes. I tell you. Stevie Mack, Jesus. It was about that height. It was only a little fella.
This is making me out to be a thug tonight. I'm actually a nice lad.
I believe you. I have a story actually for the second part on that one, so we'll come back to that. But Paul, you end up, you start your career in full form. We saw that pass you played there, the winner against Armagh, all you achieved up there. You end your inter-county career playing six. Like, the actual football brain you need to go from full forward to six, it's a lot. It doesn't happen very often. Like, how were you able to go from playing inside on, say, Seamus Moynihan, to go on a man marking a Kieran McDonald in a Connacht final?
Yeah, marking Kieran McDonald is not easy. You don't, especially if you're coming from being a forward into centre back, you're not sleeping that night before the Connacht final.
How did it happen?
Like, I played centre back for my, moved to kind of centre back with my club, and we were a relatively small club at the time, so I played a number of positions there. And Tomás Mannion had retired, we'd lost a few players, and it just happened. It seemed to happen, and I survived, barely survived. You know, I ended up, thanks for bringing this up, actually. I ended up marking Declan O'Sullivan, got a good cleaning there off him in a quarterfinal. Brian McGuigan, no fun there.
No. Were you man marking or hold in the centre?
Yeah, no. There was no real try to hold the centre. You get, they just run in over on top of you.
Yeah.
Try and man mark them, and they pull you out to the wings. So it was a lose most of the time. So it was like damage limitation.
Make an injury, break the leg again.
Yeah, I know. I just
not
retired.
Yeah.
And did you try and rough them up or anything like that, or?
There's no real rough. Like, how would you rough Stevie up now? What would you do? You know, so there's no.
Don't ask me.
I don't know. How would you rough Paddy up? You know, I don't think you can rough guys up at intercounty level.
No.
You know, they're there for a reason. Like, there's not much roughing up to be done at that stage. Mm. You know, you just try and survive and do your best. I think
we'd always go after Jimmy now when we were playing. Though.
Yeah, Jimmy.
A few lads I wouldn't.
No. I wouldn't like to mark him near the goals now, to be honest.
We will be back in a couple of minutes. You are at the Football Pod live in Croke Park with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We're joined tonight by Sam Maguire, Paul Clancy and Stephen McDonald. I'm going to leave you with a question and we'll answer it after the break. What does Stephen McDonald and Jason McAteer have in common? I'll leave that widget for the break and we'll be back in 20 minutes.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.